Greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Yes, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Yes, just let me clear my throat as we begin. Welcome back. It's the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week, as a matter of fact. Through the lens of original thought, I think it's the tryptophan still running through my... No, we didn't do turkey at the McBurney compound for Thanksgiving. Nope, chicken tenders. But we had the stuffing, we had the cranberries, we had the mashed potatoes, and broccoli. Unfortunately, a lot of green beans end up with broccoli. But listen, Lowe's, I've got a story here from the San Francisco CBS affiliate there. Lowe's is introducing the Lobot. Lowe's is the home improvement store that competes with the awful Home Depot. Home Depot's the worst, in our humble opinion. Just the worst. Next time you go into Home Depot, walk the aisles and see if any of their associates make eye contact. They will purposely avert their eyes when you get it within about 8-10 feet of them. All of a sudden, they've got to look up on rack number 12 at the very top, walk right past you. You're standing there with some broken thing in your hand. Obviously, you don't know where you're going. Don't even know what you're looking for, perhaps. You need some help. So Lowe's Home Improvement is introducing their robot helper. They call it the Lobot. It's right. It's a little robot that's bilingual, by the way. That's right. Speaks English and Spanish. And if you go into the store, the robot will not avert its little electronic eyes from you. In fact, you can walk up to it and you can tell it what you're looking for. Yes, the robot communicates... According to CBS in San Francisco, the Lobot communicates with the store's central computer. It uses lasers and cameras to navigate, and then it will take you to the part that you're looking for. We don't know if it can actually answer questions, but it can't be any worse than a Home Depot employee. So Lowe's and Home Depot, it's the difference, that's that difference that one comedian mentioned, that fine line between Kmart and Target. It's a similar thing with Home Depot and Lowe's. We prefer Lowe's here at the McBurney compound. But we did have a fantastic Thanksgiving. We spent it at home with just our family and our livestock. We did go out and participate in Black Friday just by accident. We did not go out at 3:30 in the morning. We did not camp out in front of a store. But we went to a local electronics retailer looking for a couple of cables.
Oh, they need a Lobot.
They need a Lobot at Best Buy. They need a Best Bot. Talk about employees who know absolutely nothing. And I don't even know why they're being paid to hang out there. Anyway, all of you minimum wage activists and Best Buy employees, you are on notice. The Lobot is coming for you. Because I ask, I have two cables that are broken. I need to replace them. We were just looking for an excuse to go into town and have dinner. That was the main thing. We haven't been out in how long? How long has it been since we went out? It's been too long. 6 months we haven't been to a restaurant. Yeah, because they generally, well, I don't even want to get into that. We had a nice experience at a restaurant. No tatted up freaks, no facial jewelry, no profanity within earshot of the children. It was actually a nice experience. But before that, we were at Best Buy, and I'm walking around with the cables, trying to find them. I can't find them. I ask an employee. He vaguely points toward the back corner of the store. I think they might be over there. And after about 15 minutes, I said, why am I doing this? I just handed them to my extremely attractive audio engineer. And I said, sweetie, could you just order these online when we get home? They'll be here in a couple of days via UPS. And we won't have to interact with these people. But I did. I felt the obligation to buy something for Black Friday. Since I'm all for boosting the American economy. And so I asked one of the sentient Best Buy employees. There was one guy there who's actually a go-getter. He actually walked up to me and said, "Are you looking for something, sir? Can I help you?" I was stunned. I didn't know how to respond. I said, "Well, are there speakers that you can plug into an old-fashioned stereo system, but that also have Bluetooth?" And he said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, there is." And they turned out to be really expensive, but we went ahead and got them. Yes. So now I have Bluetooth speakers, and I can play music from my phone. I've moved into the 21st century.
But the music is all 80s.
Yeah, well, the music will remain in the 20th century, firmly ensconced. We will not play any 21st century music, even through our Bluetooth, even from the iPhone. But I did have quite the experience removing U2's Songs of Innocence from my iTunes account. Now, I haven't used my iTunes account. I have one for this show, when I edit this show, when I do the tags and all that, the metadata. That's the only reason I've ever used my iTunes account. I go in there hoping to add some music, and there is a disturbing picture of two men that U2 apparently put on the cover of their album entitled Songs of Innocence, and I couldn't remove it. I had to go online and get instructions on how to remove it, and I did remove it. So now I don't have that disgusting picture of two men naked from the waist up. What's the deal with that? Has U2 gone homo too? It's old. I remember the hubbub around the fact that Apple forced that into everybody's account. Well, I got it removed. It was not an easy task, but there we go. And so that's what's happening around the McBurney compound. Black Friday, yes, we did participate. We did not punch, kick, or shoot anyone. But in Atlantic City, according to the New York Post, a man was fatally shot, and his brother was wounded in the parking lot of a New Jersey mall. In Reno, a Walmart customer was gunned down during a fight over a parking spot. Gunned down. Yes. And in Tennessee, another person was shot at a Memphis mall while people were taking part in early Black Friday events because he got shot on Thursday. On Thanksgiving Day, life in America has degenerated. Every Black Friday. By the way, Black Friday used to be an inside baseball thing. I worked in retail when I got out of the service, briefly, worked in retail, and that was the first time I heard the term Black Friday, but the general public didn't know what Black Friday was. This was inside industry terms, but I've noticed there are none of those anymore. Everybody knows everything about everything, and I the democratization of information. I suppose it's okay to some degree, but it would be nice if there were still some things that were held close to the vest within the industry, but no longer. Everybody knows Black Friday. I think the obsession with the term Black Friday is because the heathens absolutely hate Thanksgiving, and they'd much rather talk about Black Friday, which fits better into their pathetic worldviews. All right, now, should I get into politics here? I almost don't even want to talk about the president-elect, but I will. I'm going to give you gullible evangelicals, if any of you are still listening. There are probably very few Trump supporters who actually tune in anymore, and I don't care. But if there are any of you listening, I'm going to tell you right now why you actually voted for Donald Trump. Yes, I'm going to tell you why you voted for Donald Trump, and it wasn't because of the Supreme Court, and it wasn't because he was pro-life, and it wasn't because... here's what it was. From Bloomberg, a spokesman for Deutsche Bank says it's looking more likely that Donald Trump will preside over a continuing U.S. economic expansion that could take its place as the longest among American business cycles. This is according to equity strategist David Bianco over at Deutsche Bank. He says Donald Trump is going to preside over an economic expansion that could rival the Reagan expansion that stretched from 1991 until 2001. That streak will be broken, by the way, for all of you Trumpeteers, if the American economy makes it until 2019 without a recession. And this is why I think most conservatives or Republicans voted for Donald Trump. It wasn't for anything moral. It was strictly for their pocketbook. That's why Donald Trump won, because people are freaking out about the economy. And so for the sake of your wallet, you said, oh, well, he's pro-life. He's going to save the Supreme Court. He's going to save the Second Amendment. But what you were really thinking about was dollars and cents. And you've been duped, because Donald Trump is a well-known, bellicose, self-absorbed, egomaniacal liar is what he is. I know I'm supposed to give him a chance, but I've already, well, look at this. He appointed Betsy DeVos, who's a top Republican donor here, according to CNN. That means she's been a part of the problem for her entire adult life. She's been making large donations to Republicans who've been screwing us for 30 years. And now she's been appointed by the Donald here to head the Department of Education. A department which should be eliminated. It should be deconstructed. But, and many conservatives who voted for Trump, they would want to get rid of the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, everything except defense, the interior, get rid of Health and Human Services, all of that, right? That's what we conservatives want. Less government, right? Well, we want less government where it doesn't belong. At least that's my opinion. I want more government where it does belong. And we'll get to some of that. But Betsy DeVos has been appointed by the bamboozler-in-chief. And she was quickly slammed by the largest teachers union in the country. While conservatives pointed out that, hey, she supported Common Core. Oh, that's right. She wrote Common Core. She was a part of that whole group. And Trump has now appointed her. All you suckers. Let's see here. She belonged to this American Federation for Children that promotes public school education. And she also served on the board of the Foundation for Excellence in Education, an Orwellianly titled group led by former governor and big part of the problem, Jeb Bush, which promoted both school choice and the Common Core educational standards. So on everything except the economy and national defense, with Donald Trump, it's going to be the same old, same old. The same old Republican apparatchiks who've been a part of the problem for my entire adult life will now be handpicked and appointed by Donald Trump to fill the slots of all these bureaucracies that should all be shut down and eliminated in a sane world. If Trump were a transformative political figure, he would say, well, I'm not going to appoint a head of the Department of Education, because throughout the campaign I said education is a local issue. But now he sees that he can hire a lot of his friends, and they can hire a lot of their friends. And that's how we end up in this problem. That's how we end up devolving to the point where the government is this gigantic monstrosity, spending our grandchildren's money like a drunken sailor so that various politicians can hire their inept, dim-witted relatives, girlfriends, mistresses, and others. Yes. So that's why you voted for Donald Trump. It was for the economy, and don't try to tell me it was anything else. Meanwhile, let's go quickly to one of the dimmest-witted people in the history of American politics, Sarah Palin. She was asked by Alex Marlowe on his radio show on Sirius XM, if that's really even radio. She was asked if she thought divine providence played a role in the election of Donald Trump. And Ms. Palin said, of course, no doubt, divine providence played a huge role in this election. I saw it firsthand. People of faith were praying to God that people would wake up. I saw how things were changing. I saw how more and more people's eyes were open. And I think so much of that was based on the church in general, those people of faith. Remember, our founders dedicated this land to God. And if I were president, yes, I would rededicate us to God. I'm so thankful there were prayer warriors across the country who realized, geez, we got to be on our knees asking for a change here, because we're going down the wrong road.
I was so grateful to see the church step up because 8 years ago, you know, when I lost, when I was running with John McCain, you'll remember, 8 years ago, when I lost, I felt like the church really didn't step up. Very disappointing,
said Ms. Palin.
She was, is there anything more you have to say about Sarah Palin? Possibly her and George Bush, George W. Bush, will go down as two of the stupidest people to ever exercise executive power in the history of the country. And still, ladies and gentlemen, there's reason to be optimistic because here we still stand. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back as we run our own autopsy of sorts of the recent election. Let's continue into the sad religion file. Sad, pathetic religion. And for that, we go right to top evangelical leaders around the country who now are convinced, at least according to Politico, that they see growing influence under Donald Trump. That's right. The gullible evangelicals have purchased for themselves a seat at the table. One would be Tom McCluskey, vice president for something or other at the March for Life. He had been quite critical of Donald Trump. Many of these evangelicals had been quite critical of Donald Trump. Why? Because they had standards. They had principles. But now, Mr. McCluskey has changed his tune. He says if Donald Trump fulfills the promises he's made, he could be the most pro-life president since Ronald Reagan. Shazam! Okay. Now, come back with me in the Wayback Machine. Ladies and gentlemen, can anyone think of anything that Ronald Reagan did to stop one single abortion? Or to stop the advancement of the abortion maniacs in the 1980s. Think with me now, how many actions, executive or otherwise, did Ronald Reagan take? In actual policy, there were none. No, there were none. He didn't do anything, and if Donald Trump is more pro-life than Ronald Reagan, perhaps he'll do nothing even more, I suppose, than did Ronald Reagan. Now, Ronald Reagan did set a tone, and I do think that's important, that the President of the United States should set a certain tone and an attitude. So I will give Ronald Reagan credit for that. He at least gave lip service to the position that every innocent person should have the right to life. He at least gave that lip service. So far, Trump has, I don't even think he's done that. I don't think Donald Trump has ever uttered the phrase right to life. I don't think so. You can check me on that. If he does, I will be shocked. Now, Trump, the Politico goes on, Trump, who has said he has never asked God for forgiveness, was an uncomfortable fit for Christian leaders throughout much of the campaign, but he won them over with a pledge to appoint only Supreme Court justices who oppose abortion.
And also he released a detailed letter that spelled out his policy promises to curtail abortion rights. And then he went on to win 81% of the gullible evangelical voters, a higher percentage than even George W. Bush. Yes. Evangelicals were a key part of Trump's coalition, and now they say he knows it. He's going to remember us. We're going to have a seat at the table. Let's go to Ralph Reed, one of the biggest suckers in the history of evangelical suckerdom. A guy who was, this is a guy who tried to rally the Christians behind John McCain. Ralph Reed stood up and said, wow, he picked Sarah Palin. She's a brilliant Christian leader. And all the evangelicals who had two brains in their head, two brain cells, they were like, what are you talking about? She can barely craft a sentence. And she appointed a board member of Planned Parenthood to the Supreme Court in Alaska. You're going to tell us she's pro-life? Because John McCain sure wasn't. Just a vulgar opportunist is all John McCain has ever been. And yeah, I know he got shot down in the whole broken arms. I know. That's all wonderful.
So, wonderful.
Yeah, that's just great. I'm very impressed, Mr. McCain. Yeah. You didn't die when your plane fell out of the sky. That's really something. Anyway, Ralph Reed. Let's get back to Ralph Reed of the Fake and Fairly Dumb Coalition. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Faith and Freedom Coalition, known here at the Weekly Worldview as the Fake and Fairly Dumb Coalition. He calls Trump a friend and a man of his word. I wonder if he asked any of Trump's ex-wives about that. Hey, he's a man of his word, right? He's not. He wouldn't be trying to bamboozle me, would he, Ivana? Okay. Ralph Reed obviously didn't do too much homework on Donald Trump because Ralph says he's a man of his word. Evangelicals. He points to polling data. Ay, 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 Ralph Reed. What a pathetic loser. He says evangelicals were indispensable to the Trump coalition. The foundation of Trump's victory is evangelicals. The good news, it's not us and them anymore. It's just us. So Ralph Reed, he feels really comfortable. No, that was Marjorie Dannenfelser. She says it's not us and them anymore, like it has been with Obama. Now it's just us. She feels real comfortable next to Donald Trump, strip club owner, Planned Parenthood patron, big-time donor. Now she's all friendly with him. She heads the Susan B. Anthony list, does Marjorie Dannenfelser, one of the biggest evangelical sucker groups in the history of such things. And she says, we have every reason to be celebrating. Uh-huh. She's so happy that Donald Trump is prioritizing defunding Planned Parenthood. That's the latest bamboozle from the pro-life industry. Oh, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood. Yeah, that's it. Let's send out some fundraising letters to all of the gullible people on our mailing list, and we'll have them donate so that we can defund Planned Parenthood. And the gullible evangelicals write the checks. It's just a sad, sad cycle. She says, yes, defunding Planned Parenthood is one of the promises that Trump made. And, of course, since he's such a man of his word, she'll follow up on that. Dannenfelser and other pro-life industry professionals gathered last week, by the way, at the Ritz-Carlton to revel in Trump's win, according to Politico. They talked about the Supreme Court, about the administration appointments, and about the secretive but influential Council for National Policy. Yes, which is a group of the country's leading evangelical and conservative activists and donors who now have the ear of Donald Trump. So color me skeptical, but I've seen these same gullible idiots who lead the evangelical, whatever it is, the evangelical, drones? What are evangelicals? There are people who go to church, but they don't really know anything about the Bible. In my humble experience, in fact, I have one of them at the beginning of the show. I always thank my enemies and my friends. So I want to explain that because I'm going to move on here from beating up the evangelicals. Well, let me close by saying I've seen Ralph Reed and Marjorie Dannenfelser and all of these other pro-life industry, pro-family industry hacks bamboozle good-hearted, good, well-meaning American patriots and Christians for 20 years now. I've watched it over and over with Bob Dole, with John McCain, with Sarah Palin. So smart. And then who was that? With Mitt Romney, for crying out loud. These same people, every election cycle. So color me skeptical. And the real reason they voted for Donald Trump was the first story I did from Deutsche Bank. It's all about money. That's why they voted for Donald Trump. But my enemies, yes, I go online regularly. And I comment on news articles. And then I get into back and forths with various enemies. They're enemies of mine, enemies of God, enemies of the truth. I had a close friend of mine. Well, he's not a close friend. He's a Facebook friend, which are a lot easier than close friends. Facebook friends never hit you up to help them move, take them to the airport, show up hungover on your doorstep in the morning looking for their ex-wife. Anyway, so Facebook friends are a lot easier. But this is a fellow who used to be an associate of mine. He just wrote a little blurb on Facebook about global warming and how it was bogus and how people should use their God-given common sense and recognize that it's bogus. And then one of his Facebook friends posted, "Which God are you talking about?" A provocative statement. Well, my friend being, he's probably just not as pugnacious as I am. He just said, "You're reading too much into this. I'm just saying global warming is wrong." Well, I posted, "How about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the creator of the universe, the living God?" Well, he responds to me, are you talking about the same God who kills babies with cancer?" That's what he said. So that's my enemy. That's one of my enemies right there. And so I responded to this fellow. I said, "Actually, the God I'm talking about is the living God. And the babies who die of cancer, that is a result of mankind's ongoing rebellion against God. The rebellion brought sin and death. So in that respect, you, sir, are more responsible for babies dying of cancer than the God who you just accused." Well, he got really upset about that. He told me, I forget, he made some disparaging comments, and I wasn't even going to respond to him again. But he had to post again, and he said, "By the way, don't you ever accuse me of having anything to do with babies dying of cancer." And I wrote him back, and I said, "Look," and he said, "I'm concluding this conversation." So I wrote him back. I said, "First of all, I will conclude this conversation, and we will conclude it on Judgment Day. And now you know how God feels when you accuse him of killing babies with cancer. How about that?" So that's my enemies list. He's on my enemies list. Another enemy used to be a friend of mine, but he became a Trump supporter. This happens so often. We got into a debate on why I couldn't vote for Donald Trump. And I said, "Well, look, the thing is he's a pro-abort. And he's a liar. And he's an egomaniac. And he's a regular on the Howard Stern show for 20 years. How about just those? Okay?" And he said, "Well, your church must be like a cult if you can't support Trump." And by the way, he said, "What do you know? You're just a cosmetic salesman." Which is somewhat true. So I've been accused of being a know-nothing cosmetic salesman by a gentleman who, for all I know, he still lives in his mom's basement and could be replaced at any moment by a Lobot. That's one of my enemies. And he used to be a friend of mine, and he doesn't have the excuse of being a biblically illiterate, gullible, evangelical moron. He might even listen to this show to see if I mention him. I have. So now he's somebody. He actually has some prominence now. All right. So let me get to one of the reasons you can color me skeptical about the Trump presidency. Now, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't throw my extremely attractive audio a curveball right before break time. No, it's okay. The story's going to bother you. I just want to let you know right up front. Yeah. It's about It's about the United States Marine Corps.
A hero.
It's one of our heroes, Lance Corporal Aaron Wixon. Aaron. He calls him it. He, she, it calls herself. It's a girl, okay? And she's in the Marine Corps, and she dresses like a boy. And here, this is from the Orwellian file, because this is from CNN. And it's a perfect example of how the language is being hijacked by insane people. Insane, suicidal, idiot children write the articles at CNN, in my opinion. And you can tell how they address the, you can tell by how they address the story of this transgender Marine. Just saying that, I want to gargle now and spit. Lance Corporal Aaron Wixon is looking forward to the day. Oh, I'm sorry. He's looking forward to the annual Marine Corps ball. He hopes to trade in the female uniform that he wore at last year's ball for the iconic dress blues worn by men, the gender he identifies with, even though it's not the one on his birth certificate. Wink, wink. Don't say anything. You're supposed to go along with this. So this is a girl who wants to dress up like a boy at the Marine Corps ball, for crying out loud. Are there no institutions that are sacred anymore? And do you think Donald Trump is going to do anything from stopping trannies from dressing up at the Marine Corps ball? Color me skeptical. This little pervert has ongoing gender transition while he's in the Marine Corps. He's one of the first transgender Marines to be formally recognized by his command as a man. The first girl to be recognized by a Marine Corps colonel as a man. He's utilizing, I'm not going to go along with this. The girl is using the military's recently adopted gender transition process, which sets guidelines for troops who are transitioning to access, quote-unquote, health care. Once the girl completes her treatment plan, she can start dressing like a man using the male bathroom, and she can wear dress blues to the Marine Corps ball. LGBT advocates applauded the military for taking the step to help this girl defile and quite possibly mutilate herself. But the homo activists are waiting to see how the policy is fully implemented. We want to make sure they go all the way. They want the hormones. I want the surgery. You better do it all. You promised it to us. We want it all, and we want it now. Those are the LGBT activists. They want to see a girl dressed like a boy, dancing with a boy, dressed like a girl at the Marine Corps ball. And is Donald Trump and Mike Pence going to stand against it? Have they said anything about stopping the enormous tsunami of homosexual perversion that is washing over the country? They have said not a word. And I'm not going to quote the commanding officer who's allowing this tranny to corrupt and pervert and defile the United States Marine Corps, because he doesn't even deserve the rank of colonel, and he certainly doesn't deserve to have his name mentioned here on the Weekly Worldview. Oh, that's right. I can see it. I can see it right now. This, once the transition is complete for this young perverted female homosexual freak, hero. No, well, she'll go on Sean Hannity's show, and he'll bow and scrape and tell her what a hero she is. I can already see it. Mike Pence will probably be on the program as well. Yeah, I can see Mike Pence and Sean Hannity welcoming the first girl dressed like a boy, dancing with a boy dressed like a girl at the Marine Corps ball, live on Sean Hannity's show. I can see it happening in my fertile imagination. All right, now let's get to serious. So that's what's going on with the military, ladies and gentlemen. They're focused on our security. Okay, I'm going to read what this colonel says because this is what's so Orwellian about it. I'm not going to give the colonel's name, but here's what he says. This is the commanding officer of a pervert who wants to mutilate herself and then dress like a boy at my Marine Corps ball. This is what a colonel in the Marine Corps says. Every Marine deserves the opportunity to reach his or her full potential. Enabling Lance Corporal Wixon to openly serve as a transgender Marine necessarily increases readiness and broadens the overall talent of the organization. He said, praying to just get to his retirement, willing to overthrow the traditions of the United States Marine Corps that have made America free and strong, just so he can get a retirement check. Because there's no way a colonel in my Marine Corps believes any of that claptrap. His or her full potential. Is it even politically correct to say that? His or her? How can you even say that anymore, colonel? His or her? We don't even know who him or her is. You obviously don't know. But yeah, you'll make it to retirement and you'll get your retirement check. Pathetic lifer, scum, apparatchik. That's the Marine Corps has been taken over by politically correct apparatchiks. Terrifying. Now to the real war, we go to Syria, where an American service member has been killed in the northern part of Syria, where the Americans are helping Islamists organize offensives against other Islamists. Unfortunately, American warplanes have been bombing Syria to help fighters, Islamic fighters, try to oust the Islamic State from Raqqa. American forces are on the ground. A paltry 300 members of the United States Special Operation Forces are in Syria, ladies and gentlemen. And the New York Times reports that they are working to help recruit, train, and advise Kurdish and Arab fighters. Have we not been down this road before? So we are going to train the future terrorists who will bomb and kill our civilians in the future. They will have been trained by the United States Special Forces. Some of the best training in the world, by the way. We're going to supply to Islamic maniacs hell-bent on Islamic domination of the globe. That's it. Let's train some more. Yeah. Well, if America had not lost her moral superiority, we wouldn't have to hire throwback Islamist maniacs to do our dirty work for us. But that's what we have to do. All right. And it's just sad and pathetic. And now we've got a dead American, another dead American service member, not given his or her opportunity to achieve his or her full potential and possibly transition. I know that's insulting, right, to even bring that topic up when we're talking about a dead American soldier killed in battle. It's insulting to even bring up the idea that the military is offering transgender transitions. It's just, so I just wanted to hit you with that to let you know how serious this is, how ridiculous, how ludicrous, how offensive it is. All right. Now, let's go to the fake news file. Yes, so you've been hearing a lot about fake news. Fake news and the Russians, right? The fake news. I just read the New York Times. Right? The New York Times. Here's some fake news that the Kurdish and Arab fighters that we're training are actually working to overthrow the Islamic State. That's fake news. The Kurdish and Arab fighters we're training are, they're basically Trojan horse types who want to get our military intelligence and even equipment and training and then turn it against us. That's the real news. But the New York Times dutifully reports the fake news. More fake news. CNN says that a girl can dress like a boy and go to the Marine Corps ball. That is fake news. But there is some real news this week. Fidel Castro is dead. He died late Friday night. This is according to Newsbusters. And journalists in the mainstream, medstream media couldn't help but fall all over themselves with kudos and kind words for maniacal dictator, a slaveholder, modern-day slaveholder Fidel Castro, who robbed, murdered, enslaved, imprisoned, tortured, and raped the citizens of one of the most beautiful island communities in the world for the better part of 50 years. Well, Andrea Mitchell said, well, Castro gave his people better health care and education, and he will be revered. Oh, he'll be revered. Education and social services and medical care that he gave to all of his people. I mean, the ones he didn't kill, rape, murder, torture, imprison, he gave them free medical care. Yeah. Reusing the... They didn't have to reuse nearly as many syringes under Castro as they had under Batista, apparently. Jim Avila over at ABC said, even Castro's critics praised his advances in health care and in education. By the way, those are two areas where the government has no business dallying, education and health care. Those are the purview of the free people. But Castro didn't have any free people. What are the two major expenditures of the United States government right now? And two of their largest activities, they are education and health care. And the government doesn't belong in either one of them. But because Fidel Castro ruled over health care and education with an iron fist, all the leftists in the mainstream media, well, they couldn't help the fact, or I'm sorry, they couldn't help but praise Castro. CNN's Martin Savage said, many saw positives in Cuba, education and health care. And racial integration. Yeah, racial integration, big health care. Did I mention education? Castro. Brian Williams on MSNBC recalled how in his last visit to Cuba and in 2015, Brian Williams said he was impressed by the medicine system. The medicine system, he said. Obviously off his meds. Meant to say health care and the medical system. He said the medicine system. One more from ABC. Jim Avila again, he says, Castro was considered, even to this day, the George Washington of his country among those who remain in Cuba. The George Washington. Well, we talked about George Washington briefly last week. And where is Fidel Castro more a child of George Washington or more a child of George Soros? Okay, well, you decide. If you're paying attention, you should already know the answer. Finally, we go to Chris Matthews for the ultimate in Castro vibrations up the leg and all that. Chris Matthews called Fidel Castro a romantic figure when he came to power. When I was in high school, we rooted for him like mad. We rooted for the guy. He was almost a folk hero to most of us. He sent a shiver up my leg. Said Chris Matthews over on MSNBC. Well, what would you expect? At least Donald Trump did tweet that Fidel was a dictator. I guess where Donald Trump does something right, we should give him credit. So we do appreciate that. Oh, so are we taking odds on whether or not Barry Ho attends? So here's the thing. I think Barry Ho will attend Castro's funeral because he just can't help himself. I mean, this is one of Barry Ho's all-time life icons, is Fidel Castro. So I think Barry Ho will attend. People are encouraging him not to. In fact, one Republican hack, I can't recall who exactly it was, Newt Gingrich, said not only should Barry not attend, he shouldn't send his vice president, nor should he send his secretary of state. Well, I think they all three might attend because they just can't help themselves, for crying out loud. They've looked up to Castro for so long. I think Joe Biden, John Kerry, and Barack Obama would almost be willing to tape milk jugs together and strap them underneath tires and float from Miami to Cuba just to make Castro's funeral. That's how much I think they want to be there. And so my prediction is, they will be there. And I want to congratulate one sign maker in Miami. A lot of people try to make signs. If you watch this Dakota Pipeline protest, you got people with signs. They have like six paragraphs on the signs, right? You can't read what the sign says, buddy. There needs to be a sign-making class for protesters, and the leader of that class should be whatever expatriate Cuban was marching through the streets on Friday night with the sign, the ultimate sign to celebrate the death of Fidel Castro. It was simple. It was to the point. It simply stated, "Burn in hell, Fidel." That's right, Fidel. You know what you're getting. Yeah, you know what you're getting, Fidel. Oh, so by the way, this brings me back to the point earlier about one of my enemies on Facebook with whom I was having a debate, the guy who accused God of killing babies with cancer. Here's the thing, folks. God doesn't kill babies with cancer, okay? What God did was he set up a universe so that if mankind rebelled against him, that mankind could not live forever and become so evil as to become a threat to heaven itself. And God instituted the death penalty for every single human being. And the reason he had to do it was Fidel Castro. That's why. Fidel Castro is a fine example of why death had to pass amongst all men after the rebellion. And it's the fault of the rebels that innocent people are swept up in the death that they brought upon themselves. It's not the fault of God. God is merciful. And by the way, all those babies who die of cancer, they're with God right now. And they can't wait to meet Fidel Castro and play him that song as they have their way with the once great and fearless leader. So... anyway, I hope you can comprehend that. I know it's a little deep, but that's the facts, ladies and gentlemen. And farewell to Fidel. We will see you once again someday, Fidel, and we'll each get to throw a stone at you or hit you with a stick or something. And that will be quite satisfying. Another reason that there has to be the death penalty. And by the way, for all of you people who are against the death penalty, tough! You're all going to get it. Yeah, you're all going to get it. I know I'm going to get it too. We're all going to get it. Everybody's going to get the death penalty, whether you like it or not. Now, the death penalty has been postponed for one Stephen Port, who is achieved some level of infamy as the Grindr serial killer. Apparently, there are apps on your smartphones where you can hook up with anonymous homosexual perverts. And one of them that's very popular is called Grindr, and that's what Stephen Port used to pick up his homosexual perverted friends. Not real friends, just Grindr friends. And then he would overdose them with GHB, a date rape drug, and they would rape them and do all these horrible things to them. He was a 41-year-old British chef who murdered at least four people, left his victims' bodies near a graveyard in East London. He's been found guilty of four murders and numerous other sexual offenses, including the rapes of three other men he drugged. He was found guilty at the Old Bailey courthouse last week and was sentenced to life in prison. But he will get the death penalty as well. It will come to Stephen Port eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later. But the fact that he got a life sentence further inoculates him from repentance. That's right. God could forgive even the Grindr killer. He could do that. But the Grindr killer would have to come to the realization that he did something horribly wrong and he needs forgiveness. And he probably won't do that in prison. Whereas if the judge would have said, Here's a Bible and a candle. I'm going to lock you in a room, and in 3 days, we're going to kill you. Do what you think is right. Well, he would have at least had a chance. So why do babies die from cancer? It's not God's fault. It's my fault. It's your fault. It's our fault. It's not God's fault. It's because within all of us is the capacity to be a tyrant, to be a dictator, to be a murderer. It's inside of all of us. And God knows that if he gave us enough time and opportunity, eventually we would all kill each other and ourselves. And so he mercifully instituted death upon all people so that the people who got the opportunity to become extremely wicked wouldn't destroy everything. And here's another from the Domestic Tranquility File, Darlington, Indiana. Mike Pence country. A mother has confessed to police that she killed her two young children. She murdered her 7-year-old son and her 3-year-old daughter. She called 911 and told the dispatcher, "I just stabbed myself and I killed my children." Her husband was divorcing her and going to take the children, she said. And she told the police, "I did not want him taking them, so I stabbed them." Yeah. Talk about infamy. This woman, do I have her name? Brandy Worley, 30 years old. Her husband had filed for divorce on the Wednesday prior. The autopsies on the children determined that the cause of death for each child was stab wounds to the neck. Stab wounds to the neck. And someone accuses God of killing children? How dare you accuse God of killing children? Can you imagine how much hatred there was in the heart of this woman against her husband that she would turn it on her children and kill them by stabbing them in the neck? Now imagine this level of malevolent hatred without any restraint. That's what the world would be like if God had not instituted the death penalty upon all people. And so it's actually merciful that he did so. All right. Now, let's go to Jerusalem's top rabbi who's got the LGBT activists. They're freaking out because he called homosexuality a cult of abomination. Now, that shouldn't freak anybody out. This guy is a rabbi. I mean, Deuteronomy is one of his main texts. So why should anyone freak out that he calls homosexuality a cult of abomination? And he says the Torah says that it's punishable by death. He says it's in the first rank of severe offenses. He calls having a homosexual orientation nonsense. He says we all have desires, but we can overcome them just like any other desire. So anyway, the LGBTs in Israel, which, by the way, there's a tsunami of homosexual perverts defiling the Holy Land right now. They're everywhere. They filed a complaint against the rabbi, Sephardi Chief Rabbi Shlomo Amar. They have filed a complaint to the police, blaming the cleric for incitement to murder just because he quoted the Bible and said that homosexuality is punishable by death. And this isn't the first time that Shlomo has gotten on the wrong side of the perverts and the deviants. Last year, he freaked out the LGBT community again by saying that most people are disgusted by homosexuality. He also called Jerusalem's gay pride parade an embarrassing phenomenon. But as far as this incitement to murder, which is ludicrous, last year there was a homosexual pervert murdered at the gay pride parade in Jerusalem, and Rabbi Shlomo condemned the murder of the homo pervert. And so he's not inciting anyone to murder. He's just quoting the Bible, for crying out loud. He's the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. I would hope that he would be able to quote the Old Testament accurately. And apparently he can, at least for the moment. They haven't burned his house down yet with him in it, but they very well may. He should probably fear for his life because those homos are vicious. Vicious. When I first became an active Christian And I thought I could change the world or save the world or do something for the world. I actually thought that. I was pretty naive. I went to the Gay Pride Parade in Denver with a Bible and some other Christians, and we decided we're going to go witness. And about 30 minutes into the event, a homo sucker punched my partner and laid him out flat, smashed his teeth, bloody lip. That was the last time I ever tried to witness to homo perverts at one of their events. That was a scary thing. All right, so I guess I move on with the news here. How much time have we got left? Well, we're rapidly running out of time. Back to Israel. Israeli police have detained some arson suspects. There's fires that are consuming houses and forests throughout Israel where it's been really dry and windy. And now they suspect that Palestinian and Islamist maniacs have started these fires. Towns in the Jerusalem mountains have been evacuated. Dozens of houses have burned down. Israel has accepted offers to fight the fires from Egypt and Jordan. And even Palestinians have lined up alongside their Israeli counterparts outside of Haifa to fight the fire. Most of the fires began simultaneously. And police in Israel suspect arson, and they've arrested 13 people. But they have yet to identify who those people are. Just a tragic story. And just imagine that you hate someone so much that you would set your own country on fire. The thing about starting a fire is it could end up burning your house down. But that's how high the level of hatred is in the hearts of men toward one another, and that's why God had to put a cap on that. And it's called death. And every one of us is going to get there at some point. But some people don't deserve death in any way. There are some people who do not deserve death. And those are the innocent. And the only people who are innocent are people who have not grown old enough to join the rebellion against God. Given enough time and opportunity, each one of us will join the rebellion against God. And at that point, we will have to seek forgiveness and salvation. We'll have to tell God that we're sorry. But at some point, all of us do that. But there are some people who never do. There are some people who never do. And they have been banned from television in France. France's state council has banned an award-winning video from French television. The video is called Dear Future Mom. And the video has been banned because the government says that it displays inappropriate images of happy Down syndrome children that might trigger women who have aborted their Down syndrome babies. This is from the Orwellian file. So the French government says this video cannot be shown since it was likely to trouble the conscience of women who had made different personal life choices in compliance with the law. In compliance with the law, let us stress that these babies were killed in compliance with the law. We don't know why these women would feel guilty, but we're going to ban images of happy Down syndrome children because it could trigger the consciences of women who have killed their children. Women and men, by the way. And mostly men. In 1959, ironically, French professor Jérôme Lejeune, a pediatrician and geneticist, discovered the cause of Down syndrome and devoted his life to the pro-life cause and for fighting for the rights of people with Down syndrome. Dear Future Mom was produced for World Down Syndrome Day in 2014 and features smiling children and young adults with Down syndrome from different countries, reassuring a worried pregnant mother that her child can be happy no matter what state of health that child might be born in. But tragically, across the globe, it is estimated that up to 90% of pregnancies with Down syndrome diagnosed end in the murder of the child. They call it abortion. It's the murder of the the Down syndrome child. So they're going to deny not only the personhood of the only people amongst us who are actually not guilty. There are the only people amongst us who are actually innocent and not deserving of death. The French government is not only going to deny their personhood, they're going to deny the ability of anyone to even look at them in order to ease the conscience of the people that they told to kill their kids. The government of France said it was okay to kill your kids. It was legal as long as you did it according to the law. But the parents, when they see the TV show, they realize that that's a lie. That's a lie that it was okay. And it bothers their conscience. And so instead of repenting and crying and falling down on your knees and telling God you're sorry that you murdered somebody, they call up the French State Council and demand that these images be banned. And since the government is the guilty party here, it's the government who told them they could kill their kids. Since the government is guilty, they move to cover it up as well. They move to cover it. The biggest criminal conspiracy in the history of mankind is occurring right now as innocent people are slaughtered by the tens of thousands every day under color of law, and the governments of the world tell their citizens that it's okay. And you're telling me that didn't have, something had to be done early on to stop such malevolent evil from destroying everything. And that's why I'm going to die, you're going to die. That's why death had to pass amongst all men and even swept up some of the innocent, yes, in its wake. But it's not the fault of God. And that's the show. That's it. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week. I want to thank you for joining us. I will be on terrestrial radio in Denver tomorrow as I host with Bob Enyart Live on KLT, so check me out there. But until then, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV and at AmericanRightToLife.com. Yes, I want to thank them all. Yes, I'm sorry. I threw yet another curveball to my strange audio engineer. But she's on the case now. She's on the ball. That's right. We are going to bring this show mercifully to a close as I thank you. And I wish you all the best as we move into the Christmas season. And should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. May the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.